As Turkey's currency bounces back today, the country's president calls for a boycott of US electronic goods. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivian Nunes. Good morning. President Erdogan's comments, broadcast live on all major news stations in Turkey, come as the Turkish lira has gained nearly 6% today against the US dollar. But the currency is still down more than 40% this year. Piotr Matis, an emerging market strategist at Rabobank, told me more.
The latest comments from President Erdogan indicate that he has no intentions to ease ongoing spat with the US. If anything, it may escalate based on comments from Turkish president who urged Turks to boycott US electronic goods.
There has been something of a recovery in the Turkish lira, but do you think that could convince Turkey's central bank that it doesn't need to raise interest rates as many analysts have called for?
Maybe it's going to convince policymakers, but it's not going to convince the market that a rate hike is still urgently required. The lira remains vulnerable, and until the central bank decides to raise interest rates quite substantially, it's difficult to expect the Turkish currency to stabilize in a sustainable way. Apart from raising interest rates, some diplomatic spat between Turkey and the US would have to be solved. Tension would have to ease, and it's difficult to be optimistic that it's going to happen based on recent comments from both sides of the conflict.
Piotr Matis, let's do the numbers. Global stock markets are mostly mixed, while Turkey's main share index is up more than 1%. Meanwhile, fresh figures from Germany show the economy grew 0.5% in the second quarter, slightly more than expected, boosted by higher household and state spending. After decades of fuel subsidies, prices at the pump look set to jump in Venezuela. President Nicolas Maduro has said prices should rise to international levels. Ronaldo Trombetta is a Venezuelan journalist based in London.
I don't think it'll be a particular shock because it's something that has been brought up over time by both the Maduro and the Chavez government. I do think, though, that a lot of people will see it as proof that Maduro has practically given up on trying to have the support of the Venezuelan people.
Inflation, we know, in Venezuela has soared to rates close to 1,000,000%, but the price of oil was really unchanged for many years.
Yes. Clearly, the Venezuelan economy is in a lot of trouble, mostly because the government has completely decimated the ability of the oil industry to produce and increase their production of oil. So there's very few money coming in. And at the same time, the government has nationalized more than 5,000 companies that should be producing food, medicines, and now those companies have gone bankrupt.
When announcing this fuel price hike, Mr. Maduro said that smugglers are cheating Venezuela out of millions of dollars of oil revenue. Is there any credibility to that claim?
That's been going on pretty much for the past 30, 40 years. As Venezuelan oil and gas have been subsidized by the government, there's always been a leak towards the neighboring countries. But the truth is, that is not what is affecting Venezuela's economy. The real person damaging the Venezuelan economy is Nicolas Maduro.
Ronaldo Trombetta. To Australia now, which boasts GDP growth of more than 3%. But another gauge of national performance tells a very different story about the economy. From Sydney, the BBC's Phil Mercer reports.
Australia is seen as the place to be for the good life. There's not been a recession here since the early 1990s. And as for economic growth, at over 3%, it's the envy of the world. But does GDP accurately reflect how the country feels about wealth and financial security? The answer is no, according to the National Australia Bank's Wellbeing Index. It's found that levels of happiness and satisfaction are at their lowest since the survey began in 2013. Those with the lowest level of well-being are labourers, people who don't own property, and young women. Unlike the index, GDP tries to capture the state of the economy in a single number. But Associate Professor Angela Knox from the University of Sydney believes it has its limitations.
We know that GDP has been strong in the last year, but we also know it's not being distributed across the workforce.
One reason for the gloom is sluggish wages growth. Only one in five Australian workers say they've had a pay rise in the last year. Susan Kingsmill employs 30 people at her family-run gym in Sydney and says times aren't easy.
It's an enormously competitive environment. And, yeah, so we're just struggling to keep up. I always had an objective to raise everyone's wages by the 3% each year. In the last few years, that's been really hard.
Scott Morrison is the federal treasurer. He acknowledges that the nation's financial dividends aren't trickling down to workers.
But overall, what we're seeing is the Australian economy strengthening. But what's needed is the benefits of that growth need to reach all Australians, and that has not yet been achieved.
Massive infrastructure projects and natural gas exports will keep Australia's GDP marching on. But the government knows it must do more to spread the wealth. With eyes fixed firmly on winning the next election, it's promised tax cuts and cheaper power bills to help ease the nation's financial stress.
Phil Mercer reporting there. And finally, new rules in China mean rainbow trout can now be labelled and sold domestically as salmon. There's been an outcry from consumers on the social media platform Weibo, with one user saying, let's label the crayfish a lobster instead. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.